Wait a minute, I shrugged him. I don't envy you, but if I have to tell you, you have to realize I'm home now. I'm 2 minutes from my shul, so I have a whole day, you know, I have no problem. I can just go down the block at 7:30, and then I'm ready to go, so, you know. I was thinking of giving out samples today of the things we're going to talk about in Hilchos Brachos, but then I realized there's a problem because we put pizza and schnitzel on the same thing, so it didn't, you know, we got stuck. So we'll have to do this virtual. You know, it's the virtual age anyhow, so we'll do everything virtual. The problem in halacha often is that it is very, very difficult for things to become a kubbal in Klal Yisrael. I don't exactly understand the process of how the Sanhedrin HaGadol worked. I don't know that it's fully articulated in Chazal, because principally Shas was written really after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, you know, we see in the secular system around us that there's a court, and there's an appeals court, and a U.S. appeals court, and somehow finally it winds its way after years, it winds up in the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have a hearing and they render a decision, which is binding on everyone. So one imagines that since we had Shoytim Titin L'chol B'chol Sha'arecha, there's a mitzvah to have both Yidin B'chol every year, so there was local adjudication, and then somehow from the local it arrived by whatever process it's Sanhedrin HaGadol ultimately to make a decision about. And obviously not everything arrived. If the process exactly how this took place, I don't really know. But at least when we had a Sanhedrin HaGadol, so Sanhedrin HaGadol spoke with one voice, an authoritative voice, and was Kaveyan Aloha the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in a number of places, in Chagiga and elsewhere, and in numerous places in Shas, wonders how we're going to survive if Eilu Poislin, Eilu Machshirim, Eilu Matamin, Eilu Matarin, and every issue there's going to be a multiplicity of views. And if it would remain with two, Chazal envisioned two, we have some say it's a mitzvah, some say it's a rashur, some say it's osur, the raisa, the ravon, a whole multiplicity of views. It's very difficult for anything to become a kubbal. But somehow, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is so granted that in most issues, that with time, consensus emerges, and common practices emerge, and it becomes a messiah. The problem is that when the world changes around the messiah, it's very difficult to change the messiah. The Messiah may no longer be applicable to the situation, because the Messiah was dealing in a situation which is very, very different than the situation that we confront. Now, in European society, society changed when our forefathers lived there very, very slowly. In hundreds of years, things didn't change too much. But in American society, and particularly with the 20th and the 21st century, we were constantly on fast forward. I mean, 5 years, 10 years apart from where we are is a radically different world. I teach 15-year-olds, and I told them that, you know, I grew up when I was their age, but didn't have the fax machine. You had to go to a photostat machine. You know, there were no cell phones. There were no Xerox machines. Forget fax. There were no Xerox machines. There were no fax machines. There were no cell phones. We didn't have computers. Like, they look at me like, you know. I mean, did they invent the horse and buggy yet? You know, they had a wheel. That also, you know, you remember when that was invented. That's basically. And the reason I bring this up, I'm going to take a look at the definition of Passover B'Kislin. And I see Rav Naftali sitting here in the front row. He, in fact, once called me a number of years back from Chicago to ask me exactly the Shiloh. And I'd like to explore it a little bit. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Samaches Siv Zayin that possible b'kisnan. So we have a halach of pas and a possible b'kisnan. Now, on pas we make hamitzu lechem and aretz, on possible b'kisnan we make baramid and mezunos. Now they are somewhat interchangeable. because we know that in Passover Bikistin there's a halacha that if I'm koveya suda on it, that I have to recite Hamoitzi, it mandates Netilas Yadayim, Hamoitzi, and Birchas Hamoitzi. But that deals only with things which have what we call Tzuras HaPas, a bread-like composition. Pasta, for example, the place can say, so it's not considered Tzuras HaPas. So one can eat a carload, a tray of pasta, and still make a mezainus and ala michi. Now, the reason that the bracha didn't change is articulated or with Yeager very, very well. It's really muhrach in the Gemara in case of Nurorchub. The Gemara applies the term lechem even to Passover Bikistin too. And as Rabbi Yeager explains, both Pas and Passover Bikistin, they're all lechem. They're all Pas. Chazal, the Chochmosom, were Chavei a different bracha for each of them. One that was used as the mainstay of a Suda, that they made the bracha of a Mitzvah Lechem and Aret. One which was not used as the mainstay of a Suda, was used more for snack purposes, they relegated to Maramina Mazinus, a lesser bracha. As we know, the more specific the bracha, the greater Cheshivas Chazal gave. Among drinks, we have the same thing. We have a general bracha of Shachol Niyav Dvoro. And Yayin, which is the one which is most unique and outstanding, is Baruch Priya Gofa. So, really, it's all pas. So, therefore, that's the reason we have the interchangeability, that if a person is Kovei Suda on something, so if he's Kovei Suda, so then the halacha is that since now it's being used for a Suda, even though most people in most places don't use this for a Suda, but here and now I am using it for a Suda. So, therefore, the halacha is that I have to wash and I have to recite a Mitzvah on it. That this is equally true whether it's in Hilchos Brachos, it's equally true in Suda Shabbos as well. For example, suppose I don't have bread. Suppose I just have two pieces of cake. So I can use them for Lechem Mishnah, and it can be Koveya Suda on that, and be Yaitzi Suda Shabbos. If I have bread and I'm making a Mitzvah, I can't use as the second challah, I cannot use a Mezainus. But if I'm actually washing and making the Suda on it, as some of us have the practice to do, for example, on Shabbos Erev Pesach, there are those that use egg matzahs for the Suda. So there is a classic situation of something which normally is construed as a Baramina Mezainus, but if used for Kriya Suda, that we wash and we recite the Hamaitzi, we eat a requisite share, and we eat the Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos is Dafkala Pas. There's no other way to be eat the Suda Shabbos. This is a question that I'm often asked. Because for varied reasons, people either for diet reasons, for weight, or for reasons that people suspect that they are allergic to gluten. Not always true. I had a very extensive shiloh with someone this past winter who was believed he was suffering greatly, and his doctors were absolutely convinced that he was allergic to gluten, and they wanted to put him on a diet where he wouldn't eat anything that had gluten in it for an entire year's time, and therefore the system would, whatever, straighten itself out. And somewhere along the way, so I was eyeing a great deal into the halachas of this, and the end was that he had a different problem. It wasn't gluten, it was something else. The doctor figured it out, and with an increased regimen of exercise and some minor changes, he's able to eat gluten as all the rest of us are able to, when he's very comfortable and he feels better than his salt in years. So we don't always know, but they suspect oftentimes gluten allergy. So we yanti, and there's really no way that I heard him define that I can be yaitzi suda Shabbos, the first two sudas, without pas. That doesn't exist. Elamai once potter from suda Shabbos in such a case, because a person is mitzvah, a person is not comfortable eating, he feels uncomfortable eating, so it's mafriya einik Shabbos, and mainly it's potter. But you'd have problems, for example, with the kezayis matzah on Pesach and a kezayis lechem on Sukkot, which are not dependent on different parameters. So these things are interchangeable. So the Shulchan Aruch defines, the question is, what is possible with kisna? In Pasabo B'Kisnen, So Baruch Hashem, we have three definitions, and then we have a machlokes. What's the relationship of those three definitions to each other? So we have in the Shulchan Aruch the following: Yesh Meforshim, the Rach and the Aruch and others, Pasa Osikim and Kisim, something that was made with packet. Shemamalan Oisim Dvash Sukkah, you put honey or sugar, Vagoyz and Menot, Shkede, walnuts, almonds, the tavern and spices, Vaymanak Roim, whatever they're called in the Spanish of the Mechaber. Now, this in our terms we call these pies. So this is number one. V'yesh oimrim shu isa she'ira bo dvash shem ala cholos o minei tavlin v'ofo. It's a dough which is mixed together with isa she'ira bo dvash shem ala cholos o minei tavlin v'ofo. Now, you're dealing with a dough here which, remember, we're dealing, all of these doughs were made with water. There is some question, what happens if you make a dough without water, if you actually have to recite a mitzi on it, but there's one mahalach of the Magid Mishnah, I believe that's the one that we accept the halacha, is any time that I make it without water, that it's not, there's no bracha of a mitzi on it. If then we get involved, it's a possible bekismet, and then there are issues of kviyas suda or not, but if it's made without water, so we're out of our realm altogether. We don't have to start to be done what it is. All of these things that we're going to deal with are all doughs which were made with bread and water. So I have, I mean, flour and water. So I have one as a pie dough, and I pie. V'yesh omer shu isa she'ira bo dvash shemen acholov u'minei tavlin v'afor. V'hu she'yeh tam teruva samei peres v'atavlin nikar b'isa. The Sfardim have a very interesting shita. According to the Sfardim, if you take a bread dough and you put in your spices, and the spices, whatever the spices may be, and the spice, you can taste the spices as the Shulchan Aruch ends, Nikar b'isa, they make mezonos on it. They don't make what? Yeah, anything with spices. That's why I'm learning as I go along. I have Baruch Hashem now, almost invariably, I have one or two Sfardim that told me to every year. So I'm learning over the time, and if I don't know, some of them are swift enough that I can actually ask them to go back and ask the Sfardish Rabbonim to exactly what they're midhugim on. I can trust what they bring back to me. So that's one of the things they recite. That's when you put spice in the bread, they make the zaynus on it. That is the shita of the Mechaber. The Ramah says v'yeshoimrim, which is the Ashkenazi shita, shezen nikrim hazgomo. This is full-fledged bread. You put a little salt, a little garlic, whatever it is, it doesn't change it. Elim kein yesh b'hem harbei tavlin or dvash kimin b'sika. He says harbei tavlin. The harbei is a very, very important word. The Shulchan Aruch really does not write that you need roiv. Despite the fact, the Chofetz Chaim writes, yeah, roiv mibayim or miyadmayim. The Chofetz Chaim talks in quantity. That roiv should be roiv of what you mix the dough with, should not be water, should be non-water, eggs, juices, etc. The Aruch HaShulchan says that this roiv, and it's interesting, the note is the lashon of the Rosh Yeshvam, harbei tavlin odvash. It doesn't write like roiv. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's a roiv, but it's a qualitative roiv rather than a quantitative roiv. In other words, you have, the question is, what's the taste? Is the taste a bready taste? Or the taste is something else. You can put in some things which are maybe lesser in quantity, but their pungency and the effect in the taste is the prevailing taste. It's not, for example, garlic bread, you're tasting bread with a little bit of garlic in there. Sometimes the bread taste is really not there. Tasty, so you which is what we call,
the garlic bread, I mean, it's first baked and then they
No, I'm talking about you make it in it. I'm not talking about you did it afterwards. Enough anami. There's no question about it. But let's say you would put garlic into the dough or whatever it might be that you put spices in the dough. Now, so this second definition is what we call cakes. And exactly which are cakes are independent dafka on this second sheet or not is a question. Rav Moshe and his Tshuvas seems somewhat different than the Chofetz Chaim in this regard. Rav Moshe writes, in effect, that this shita, in fact that it's a shita altogether, it's one of three shitas, is dealing something, for example, which is like a yeast cake. or you have a substantial dough, and you have flavor besides. But there's no question you have a good doughy part of it. But he said when you have the cakes, for example, let's take a chocolate cake that we make, or whatever, it's a banana cake, where the whole thing is a very, very strong flavor. You don't really have a bready, doughy experience. Ramosha wants to argue that this is the choladeus. This is that the same way that a pie is muskum, the choladeus, that is possible because then he wants to argue that our cakes are also in that, that our yeast cakes are in that realm too. So there's some difference about shita number two.
That means whether rove is water
or meat is water. No, besides that, that's one issue. We're dealing rove and meat in quantity, as the Chofetz Chaim seems to quantify it, or in a qualitative sense. In other words, what's the major impact in the flavor? You can have some very pungent things that you put in that may be lesser in quantity, but they're overwhelming in taste. Then the Shulchan Aruch finally adds, V'yesh meforshim shupas bein metuvelis, bein she'ena metuvelis, the bread dough, irrespective if it had spices in it or not. This is the mechaber, because the mechaber spices play a role. She'oisim ka'avim yveshim. You make them into thin wafers. The kaisis in oisa, and you eat them for a snack. And then it's what are called biskunos, or biscuits in our language. And he writes, for halachot kidivrei kulam, we pass them like all of these sheetahs. Shalachol eilu avor noisim adinim sha'amarnu v'pasavo v'kisna. And there's some question what it means for halachot kidivrei kulam, it's explored by the Rabbi Halacha, that the Rav Kiveger assumed that there's a machlokes of these varied views, and therefore he's wondering why the Shulchan Aruch just says the halacha kidivrei kulam, and he cites others, the Maamar Mordechai, that says that since we don't find explicitly that the Rishonim disagree with each other, they may just be views which are complementary to each other, and everyone holds of every other view. But he said there are two views of what the halacha kidivrei kulam is. Now, when this last practice, also things have changed. And that's what I say, things change very, very slowly. Among the Sephardim, Arayim Azer, the Sephardim an entire year make Baramina Mazenas on a matzah. They take a regular matzah, flour and water matzah, and they make Baramina Mazenas on it. In their culture, matzah was not used. I can't tell you in their culture today, I don't break bread with Sephardim often enough, you know, in their own homes, really, to know what their practices are. But in their culture, matzahs were relegated to Pesach. That's it. That's why some want to say that when they talked about the fact with egg matzahs, I'll leave that aside for them. So they were relegated to Pesach. But maybe the whole year there was no, they didn't use it as bread. If you had it, it was a snack, it was a cracker. That's it, if you had a little piece of it. Now, among the Chassidim, apparently had a similar background in their countries, that they didn't have matzah available to them. And there are many among the Chassidim that Arayim Azel, I'll take a piece of matzah during the year and I'll make a mezainis on it. And I have a Chassidish Chaver who's a Talmud Chochem, and he works together in Chassidish business, and he shries Chayvakai. He lets the Chaver around them have it, that, you know, they're off the wall. You know, that nowadays it's no question, it's used in our society, in Ashkenazi society, for Suda, and therefore it's Lechem Gom. So that is the question, exactly what these, so we're dealing with a thin hard cracker, which is not typically used for a suda. So that we also recite Mizaynus on, yeah.
What's the Svara from Moshe Pesach? That gives
the because I guess, because yeah, then it has Shivas. In other words, that's the whole suda, Nikvah now. What? Well, it's even, but even if you don't have a shiva, but the fact that it's the whole mitzvah is a shiva, that
reading it plain at first.
Yeah, but I presume, in other words, the whole chashivas is the suda has to be a man who gives it a chashivas. That's what I understand the sheep is. So we principally in our society, among most of us, recite Hamotzi on matzah. But it's rather interesting. We'll go back. We'll see. There's a little gray still to this. Because we typically use, in our society, we use matzah for suda. It's interesting that they have that matzah crackers, which are made of flour and water, which are made in small pieces, and if they're made in, now, those initially are made in small pieces, you understand that there's a difference between matzahs are not something that you cut the shape after you bake them. Not exactly. It doesn't work. You know, I once asked someone, you know, about who's in the metal stamping business, about metal caps, plastic caps. He says, Rabbi, what is the big difference? Metal is malleable. You can cut metal after you have a piece of metal. You can do whatever you want with it. Plastic, you can't do anything with. You put it in a mold and you make it, and that's it. If you try to do anything with it, it's going to crack. Matzahs are the same way. They are not malleable. So if you get a whole box of regularly shaped matzahs that were made that way from the beginning, this wasn't just as an afterthought. Oh, we didn't have what to do with the matzahs, so we dumped them into the box. So the Moshe apparently held that when they make matzah crackers in little pieces, that since people would generally eat them more, you're not going to eat it as a sandwich. You're going to eat it more just as a, you would eat a cookie with a cup of coffee, that you could make recite mezainas in that.
That's
with Kavanah and Lishon? Does it have to do with the Kavanah and the Lishon?
Where does this make a difference?
Well, the difference is in the end. In other words, this was made. We'll see at the end. This was certainly made to be used as a snack. But there's no question about that. Yeah. So, it has both. This was the fact, functionally, the way you use it and for what it was made. But I don't know if that's always going to be the korea. Yeah.
Is the same in your croutons?
Croutons are worse, I believe. Croutons, depending what they're made of. Croutons are made of all different things. Some are made with water, some are made without water. If they're made without water, they're mezainas. If they're made with water, lidaiti, they're pieces of bread. This dinner, the Shulchan Aruch, is very, very important. This dinner, the Shulchan Aruch, is very, very important to quantify. The Shulchan Aruch never signed off on the fact that bread eaten for a snack, you make mezainas on. The Shulchan Aruch only said that something which is thin and hard, I guess, and really doesn't lend itself all that much to be used as a conventional piece of bread, and usually for that reason it's used just as a snack, is that if you're using it for a snack, you're making mezainas on it. It's very important, because I think there are many cases which are widely misconstrued in this regard. I mean, it's always been my personal contention. I think that the soft pretzels that they sell are hamitzi. I just don't see they have a little bit of salt on the outside. Otherwise, it's a bread dough. And it's ultimately, it's a type of bagel with a hard outside and a soft inside.
Are there croutons any worse than the case of matzah? Are they both matzah is made out of something?
No, the croutons are not made of matzah. The croutons are made of bread.
Saying, in the same way, the matzah is basically bread, just made in a way that...
Yeah, but this I agree. But this is as a din. This was made as pas. The Shulchan Aruch never signed off. I don't know any din that says that if I made pas for a snack, that you can make designers. What? No, it's a thin dough. It's hard. It's by its nature.
Oh, that's the shita.
That's the shita, yeah.
Rabbi first told me that when the croutons first came out, the kosher croutons, the company would buy bread from a bakery and then cut it up.
Yeah, it's even more because it was mamish tourist. That was.
He says now they're making their own bread for the croutons. He says the prophet is mamish.
I'm not convinced. Okay, as much as I respect Rabbi First, and he's a good Yiddishma of mine, and I respect him highly. But
first,
I'm not convinced.
You say you're croutons are bread because they're made as a bread and cut into pieces?
Yeah.
If they're made into pieces, it's okay.
Whatever, you can make them as pieces.
It's
bread dough. You cannot make them. They have to be made. You cannot achieve that. Otherwise, they're going to be all crust. Baking is just an impossibility. Yeah. Well, it has to be cut after.
No, the matzo crackers, you said, they're cut just before they go in the oven.
Yeah.
And the croutons are cut as soon as they come out. So why does that make a difference? Why does that make a difference?
No, all I just meant to follow, one is bread. The croutons are bread.
No,
the matzah is not. The matzah is exactly the shita. The chaber shita is that thin, hard things. In other words, that metzias is differentiated than bread normal.
Yeah, but the matzah is mostly on regular matzah.
The
fact that they make it into small pieces.
That's okay. So that's afotikin, because that's still relegated for a snack. So, in other words, we're taking something which.
They're taking both. Yeah.
I'll come up on what I wanted to touch on. This is just a little bit. The lay of the land.
The question would be crackers and pizza chips and all those that don't have flour and water. You know, because
the ones that don't have flour and water certainly.
The ones that are flour and water.
Yeah.
But primarily they're reason to first met.
Yeah, yeah, that's something else. I could hear you making a mezainas on that. I would not. I could certainly see that that fits in together of kaif and dakif, you know.
So why is the cinnamon still?
I don't know what cinnamon is. Yes.
Well, why don't we just spoke about that now? No, we have the cinnamon bread.
They're quite thick. This is, they're not hard. They're not a hard dough.
Soft. A lot of times the shape for you.
Yeah. Now, kits are. So what are the.
You filled the problem of how to sheet the dough with water.
Yes.
Where do you get that? Do you get that?
Because otherwise, you don't. Since we paskin, like the Shita Rabbi Gedmishta brings, that without water you don't have to make a mitzvah, so you don't need all of these reasons the Shulchan Aruch deals. You can have a plain, you can make a bread from it, straight, flat piece of bread, and you still make mitzvah.
But if it doesn't have water, it could be a suda.
You could be kovei a suda on it, well, you wouldn't need all. Yes, yeah, that's fine. You could have tzuras of pas, you could have without being pas. Yes, cake as tzura as a pas. Now, what I want to explore, and this a very common case which will bring it into focus, is what brocha should one be making on pizza. Now, as I say, the world changes, and the problem is that in the dynamics of the halacha, we don't change so quickly. We have a hard time. You know, the world's changing very rapidly around us.
So I leave now for you.
Now, let's go back. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in this town. Having grown up in this town, I can remember just about when kosher pizza was introduced in New York. Okay, circa 1960, about somewhere around there. The last year that I was in Chaim Berlin in Brownsville. I wasn't, you know, I went there till 7th grade in Brownsville, so the last number of years, 5th grade, 6th grade, somewhere around there. And so then there was a widespread shmur that went around New York. There was a rather well-known machlokes between two of the greatest rabbinic figures in New York at the time, between Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. How many slices of pizza you needed to feed them. This is well-known, beforesome, Yadua Lakol. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, on 2 pieces is kriya suda, Rav Moshe said 3 pieces. Okay? And this was rather well known and stayed as a fixed part of the New York climate for many, many years. Now let's turn our attention to the end of Siman Kuf Samach Ches. I would presume it's Passover B'Kistin in the first one. Like a pie dough, right? As a filling. And we'll explore that.
Rabbi Fritz told me you could never track anybody down. Have you ever heard Rav Moshe say, talk about
I don't know. I can't tell you. I could just tell you what was.
Laurie finds it all the time.
Okay, this is rather. Listen, I first didn't grow up in New York. You know, listen, this was. You're foursome lakol. You know, when I was for some ways, you know, how it became a foursome, I don't know. But the fact that it was some foursome, and no one ever questioned the fact that this was correct. So, mid-mad, you know, that it's true.
What was that?
I presume a hashara exactly what the share that you needed. Okay, there are Rav Moshe and the Tshuvas, whatever, has his own view exactly what the share is. And the truth is, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik maybe even a little further went along the same line as Rav Moshe, away from a little bit what the Shulchan Aruch wrote directly. Now we have, at the end of Siman Kuf Samach Ches, we have the following halacha. Pashtidon, hanefer, betanor, bebosar, or bedogim, or begvina. So this is basically something which is, you know, we can call it barakas, I guess. But what it's filling? It's filling is meat, fish, or cheese. It's mevorach alav hamoitzi obichas hamazon. So what happened here? We started off in Siv Zion. We had a pie. And had kisnin. And we made baramina mezonos. All of a sudden we got the Siv Yud Zion. And the Shulchan Aruch has a different view. So what does the Shulchan Aruch, so what does the Yichud Yachroidim tell us? So the Chofetz Chaim in Sifkot and Tzadik Dalet writes, Mavoruch alav amboitz, nihainu afilu b'deloi kol v'alayu, even if there was no kfiyah suda. There was like a little piece of it, that's all. V'lo domi l'pasavo b'kisnen, And why is this not comparable to Passover with Kisan of Siv Zayin? Without Tfiya Suda and any of the cakes mentioned in Siv Zayin, there would be no Hamaytzi. The shiny holes that are seen are little kurach suda on the masika. Those are meant to snack foods. Masha enkim pashtido shemamula v'boso. That these things, these meat barakas, which is derech la'ochel in the ravon, a person eats them for a meal. Ugedel is voya, and to satiate one's hunger. But become a sure pasu boso. What's the difference between this and any other sandwich? Just because you made it in one shot, you were efficient. You didn't cook the meat separately and then bake the bread and then put the two together. You made the whole thing in one shot.
Does it have to have
a tzuras apas? It certainly has a tzuras apas. No. You know, tzuras apas is a dough.
It's like a flaky dough.
Yeah, that's
a cake dough.
That's tzuras apas. That's tzuras apas. That's no different. That's tzuras apas. It means a doughy composition. That's tzuras apas. Whereas a pasta is not tzuras apas. It doesn't have a doughy composition to it.
Sponge cake is called tzuras apas.
100%. A lot of them. Without it.
Wraps.
Come to wraps. Let's wait. We'll come to wraps.
You assume this dough has what in it?
Yes.
Has what? Water and oil, or just water?
Basically, it's water. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. You could have a little bit according to the Shulchan Aruch.
Wouldn't fit in. This barakas wouldn't fit in. This wouldn't be a child of barakas. It's more like.
Yeah, and it's not exactly. Like a calzone, probably. A calzone is probably a better example. A barakas is similar to closer to a knish. But a calzone is a better example of this. A calzone. Where?
Well, we'll show the difference between a snack and something.
Let's. What? Rabbi Ginsburg, didn't ask me if ich weiß doch euch nicht, at least I know they exist. And ich weiß doch euch nicht, you know. I just told Rabbi Ginsburg. The difference between me and him is I'm not exactly sure the difference in Barakas and Calvin either, but I noticed such a thing. It's Rabbi Ginsburg, though, they don't even know it exists. That's the thing.
You're assuming now in the Shulchan Aruch that this is basically a bread dough.
Yeah, this has to be according to the
flour.
Has to be according to the Mechaber.
Not other ingredients.
Has to be according to the Mechaber.
As opposed to other types of things like barakas, where the primary liquid in the dough is not water, and therefore
there's a whole
discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Without any question about it.
Moshe, the difference is if you fit into the pasuk of a savata.
No. It's nothing to do with the savata.
So what's just in a snack and not a snack of all the ingredients?
Because the chazal wakoveya for a suda, which is the primary lifeblood of a person, has the brocha of a maitzi. But oriented to that, and snacks which have less significance in the human life, they did not give such a choshev brocha to it. They gave a separate brocha for it. That's the Rabbi Kivayegu we started. Now, therefore, based on this, these two sifim in the Shulchan Aruch, I have long personally felt that pizza has evolved. You know, when I went to Levy's Pizza Place on Pitkin Avenue in Brownsville, circa 1960. If you want to know how old I am, the slices cost 15 cents a piece in those days. It was a lot of money. The bus also cost 15 cents. But what was interesting is you go Friday. Friday was the big day we went because we had time to go to the pizza place. In the middle of the yeshiva day, it was very hard to have enough time. It took about 10 minutes to get there from yeshiva. So if you went until you came back, so we used to go Fridays. There's the yeshiva. So you went and you ate pizza. Then you went home. What did you do when you got home? You ate lunch. Because pizza was no different than if you had a chocolate bar. It's a new type of chocolate bar. But it was totally a snack food. Nobody looked upon it as a meal. Then you came home with the pizza place, and you sat down Friday, you ate a sandwich, and you ate lunch. Let's get lunch, because you had a snack. So, in that... What?
How big were the pieces?
Same as today. Same story. No different than today's. So, in that context, it clearly it fit into Siv Zayin. Fitting into Siv Zayin, so then arise questions of when do you arrive at the point of Kfiya Suda, where it changes that you have to make a Moitzi on it. nowadays, if you go to schools, camps, etc., I mean, this is one of the lunches that's regularly served. Probably most yeshivas serve once a week. I know where I am, I think every Thursday afternoon, I think, they serve pizza. Freshly made in the place, you know, whatever it is, however they do it, they get the dough, they put the sauce on, the cheese, the maragon, that's served. Today it became a meal item, not a snack item. And consequently, the basic bracha, from my standpoint, has to be the tzitzit alof of pashtido, which is pasanefa betana, which you make hamoitzi on. Now, what? Even on one slice. Yeah. Now, Elamai, I do have, and as I say, I have one chiddush here. This I don't believe. I don't believe I'm saying anything which is chiddush that can disregard. Yes, even without kviyas suda. Now, I would perhaps submit one chiddush lekula, and if you want to disagree with me, this is the place to disagree with me. And what I said until now, I don't think that it's reasonable to disagree. If you want to type us to Matthias clearly, I just don't think. And Rav Naftali called me, I remember it was the day after I came home from the country, it's quite a number of years ago. It's in Chicago, that's before Milwaukee and before Boca, right? To discuss a shiur given by Rabbi Francis, I believe. Right?
Sorry?
I think Rabbi Francis was the one that gave the shiur in Chicago about it.
No, this was my job was to.
Yeah, but I think, but I had to.
Policy.
I know, but I think the background was a share given, I think, by one of the Rishka Kailul in Chicago about it, who also came to the same conclusion. Kitzer, I do still maintain, and as I say, if you want to disagree with me, this is the place you can hit me over the head, that if eaten solely for a snack, I don't deny the fact that it is sometimes eaten for a snack. Now, not at our age, you know, it's. There's some things you just don't do at our age, you know. One of the hardest mitzvahs for me to do, I have to tell you, one of the hardest mitzvahs to do is Malav Malka. You know, Shalosh Shudis, Mameila, but somehow I'm still able to function. But the time it comes to Malav Malka, it's very, very hard for me to be Yaitse Malav Malka. I manage, but it's very, very difficult. By the time I get up there after Havdalah, I don't need to eat till Monday morning. You know, just, I don't have the mood. It's just not, you know, if they eat whatever we Jews are used to eating on Shabbos, it's enough for me. I don't want to look at food until Monday. You know.
I said I like to have the scarf on my mouth in the summertime.
I'm not going to do that. So, you know, at our age you don't have it, but, you know, teenagers, you know, have a different constitution than we have. So it's like they sometimes would eat pizza just as a snack, not even for a meal. But my idea is that if it's easy for a snack, I think it's made for that as well. That one could be makel under that situation if it was less than a shir kviyas suda to make mezonos on it. Now you may say that I'm inconsistent, and it has to be. And you have a right to disagree with me. I'm not, you know. The first part, I'll get up and I'll fight for, you know. Well, you know, the other, I say it's probably in Shikul Hadas. You hear it differently, you hear it differently. I can't, you know, fight with you. The first part is, to me, pretty mukhrah. But this is what I say. Society changes around us. And the halacha is fixed. The halacha's principles are immutable. The Atara Zalaytei Mukhlefes, that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, the shilas that we have are different shilas. And because we have different shilas, there are different answers to the different shilas. And they're not contradictory, they're merely different. But we have a hard time relating to the fact that things around us change. And there are many things, other things that which are beyond the pale of, you know, the things we're going to talk about today, where, you know, history has changed around us. And we're slow, you know, as a society. It's very difficult. Society doesn't change quickly. And consequently, ingrained practices and outlooks stay for a very, very long time, long after they've outlived their usefulness. Well, age level is always a factor, because the older a person gets, the more difficult it is to change. You know, older person is used to doing things a certain way. we lack already the flexibility of personality, you know, to be able to change things. But it goes from door to door too. So that becomes, you know, the Messiah. Whether it should be or it shouldn't be, but it remains the Messiah.
Yeah, wealthy doesn't mean there's an older person wants to have a snack. I mean,
I didn't mean that. I'm just talking the reality and the practicalities. I'm not talking the halachas, you know. Now, I just want to add one cautionary note within all of this. You ask someone if his pizza is made with water or made with juice. Which of the two he uses? Now, one would readily understand that the norm probably would be to make it with water, because for a very simple fact, that water is relatively free, relatively, and juice costs a lot of money. But you will also have the experience that if you ask a guy, he tells you he made it with juice. Ask him the following question. Did he use juice which was reconstituted or not? Now, a lot of times he'll tell you, and it's a lot cheaper to use reconstituted than to use reconstituted. Not always, but he used reconstituted juice. It means he took one container of juice and he added 3 to 5 containers of water to it, and that's the juice that he used, which is both in two regards. I believe it's pretty mukhrach that that's not considered. I mean, this is whatever. There is some measure of controversy. I don't know if the Chassidim will agree with this. But Pashtus Hadvarim is that this is not considered Mekperis anymore. And Raya Lekach, the very Poshut Raya, that this is not to be construed as Mekperis in that regard. To be construed what? For Hilchos Pesach, for Mekperis. That there's a different halacha between. It's true, chemically we took out water, we put back water. But there are two things. First of all, the taste is not the same. Somehow something changed. And the halacha in Mekperis and Hilchos Pesach tells us it's radically different. There's one halacha of Mekperis without water, and halacha of Mekperis with water. I mean, if it's all the same thing again, what's the nafkamina? I don't know, my inflation yourself has a little bit of a hard time understanding that. But I guess there are some chassidim that would dispute. I will tell you that. That's as much for the moment as I want to talk about pizza. I would like. Well, if it was made with May Paris, so then it doesn't ever didn't pass. And according to that sheet in the Magid Mishnah, the one of Rum quotes it, that I believe is Nog Lemaisa, is that something which is made without water is not to be construed as bread.
Then you don't
unless it's a Sher Tzvi Yisuda, right?
Why is it given a bread? And why does that make it any different than breaking and making it without just plain water?
But again.
If we're Kaviyah Suda.
Without Kaviyah Suda.
No, in general, people are Kaviyah Suda.
It still doesn't make a difference. Let's say a Kaviyah Suda on apples. Let's say that becomes the style.
Why is it any different than making it with water and having the.
It's still, because one is bread and one is not. The definition of bread, according to the Magid Mishnah, without water is not a definition of bread.
Not bread at all.
That's not bread. That's all. It's bread-like. But it's not bread.
What's the definition of
Yisuda? So we have varied definitions. That's beyond what I'm going to go into today. There are varied definitions of Kriya Suda. Some definitions of Kriya Suda have to do with the amount that you eat. That's one definition. There are other possibilities of Kriya Suda too. Kriya Suda could mean, this is explored in Moshe's Tshuvas, that if I eat something in place of bread, relatively an amount that I would eat for bread, together with a whole collection, array of other things, that's also a Kriya Suda.
So would that apply to people?
Not necessarily. In other words, let's say a person has a small amount. He's not really eating. Moshe talks in the context of the Kedei Svi of a full meal. Now, I wanted to turn my attention, which we really don't have all that much time to do. And so let's just discuss a little bit without, you know, really the Marma Kaimas for it. The schnitzel is a very, very interesting halachic phenomenon. You know, there are certain cases which are very, very good in the world of halacha because they force us quantify certain things which we wouldn't quantify otherwise. In fact, there are even among the Gedolim that say that some of the stranger cases discussed in the Gemara were discussed not because they ever thought these things were going to happen, but rather merely as a means of elucidating the lumdus, In other words, they wanted a case that could bring out something in the lumdus, so they constructed, made a strange construct, because there was something about it in a way that could highlight what the lumdus is, because I wanted to convey what the lumdus is as well, not only the dry halacha, but the theory behind it as well, so we should understand it. So certain cases in halacha are very good, and technology is very good for that reason, in terms of, you know, besides its practical impact, but technology opens up new vistas in understanding the halacha. It creates types of things and situations which didn't exist before. So therefore, we now, as we struggle to understand that which the halacha means, the possibilities become broader in our own minds. You know, G'dayli Olam had their own yashrus and understanding. The Rashba and the Gro understood Torah. They went right to the root, and it was clear in their yashrus, and that's it. And everything, every shaila that you list them, flowed automatically from their havona. But we do not have the yashrus. Chaim Volozhin says, what's Yosef Godel? Yosef is Yosef Godel. The greater Yashus is for Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote, that's the greater Godel. So the Kadmonim had a tremendous Yashus. So they understood, saw it thrown places. And I heard once of Shneya, the Chatalik Lebrocha, say this. It's a very famous thing from the Altar of Slobodka. The Altar of Slobodka said that which is a stronger statement, Lahalocha? If the Rosh brings a Shaila, and the Rosh brings a Raya that the Shaila is true, or the Rosh says nearly, which is a stronger statement of Halacha? So intuitively, we thought, oh, one the Rosh brought a Raya to, one he doesn't have any Raya to. The Alta said, finish them. The Alta said that nearly is a much stronger statement than the Raya. Why? Because if the Rosh went to a Raya, I mean, the Rosh and his Das Torah could understand both to be true. They both could be true. So he brought a Raya to be Koveya. That means it didn't have to be that way for terms of the Havona that the Rosh had in Torah. Although there's a Raya. A Raya is Koveya. When the Rosh says nearly, the Rosh says, my entire Yashrus HaTorah says it's impossible for it to be otherwise. Can it be honest? It's a word from the Altar of Slobodka. The whole Yashrus of the Rosh says it can't be. It doesn't need a Raya. It doesn't have a Raya. The Yashrus HaTorah says it is the way it is without a Raya.
Maybe that's not why, because there's no
problem. Yeah, if you always have to alter all the kashas you want, that didn't come to your kashas on the altar, you know? Since I'm a sayer from the altar. You could, you know, I'll call upon him. So the Kadmonim had tremendous yashras. In their yashras, they were kaleil amatoros to the emes. We're not always so readily, we don't access that yashras so readily. We're not so great. So, very, when we have new shilas of new types of materials, so we see the halacha differently than we would have seen it otherwise. And it leads us to explore the halacha new avenues than we could have explored them without the new materials. So, shilas sometimes are very, very interesting. Now, schnitzel has always been a very, very perplexing thing. Perplexing because Nimnu v'gomru, if you asked among the daily oilam in this country. So, it was muskan that the broch on a schnitzel the shahakum. That was clear. That was nimnu v'gomru. They were asked for a meisha zatzal, or a yanku, broch a shahakum. Why that was the case was always clouded very, 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 very in mystery. Why? I'll explain the issue. We're assuming that the breading that he used was something, let's say, from matzah meal or something like that. Something which you would think certainly was made of the chameshes minei dogon. So if it's made of chameshes minei dogon, so good, they will assume it doesn't have a tzuras of pas anymore, it lost the tzuras of pas in the cooking and the frying. Okay, fine. So the self calls out. So we have our general halacha which says that when it comes to chameshes minei dogon, then even if they're a meat, and they're there for the purpose of tam, that if they're there other, let's put it this way, put it a little differently, if they're there other than for the purpose of consistency, of binding it together, so the halacha is they're not bottled. If they're not bottled, even if it's a meal, it's covering the halacha. Now we have classic cases in Afrayim, there's a classic case, what? You make a mezainah, it's a Gemara, it's based on a Gemara in case of Mevarchim. There's the classic illustrations of this. There's a case, I believe, in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I think, is the source of this. there are pastries which are made where the essence of the pastry is the filling. The outside of the pastry itself was a very thin, papery dough without much taste to it. And the basic reason for having it was it would not be aesthetically very pleasing to pick up a glob, you know, of the filling and eat it that way. So Menschlichkeit dictated that you made something to wrap the thing in to hold it together. But the man is always out to create a better mousetrap. So as time went on, some bakers figured out they could make an even better product if they gave a little bit more substance to the dough and they gave flavor to the dough. So initially the halacha was that the dough is bottled because it's really serving a function, not for anything for its own sake, merely for the purpose of keeping you not avoiding a mess. And whatever the bracha on the filling, if it was eight typically, which would have been the filling, something made from fruits, something sweet. So the halacha would be that you made very pre-eight on it, and that was it.
The mini hot dogs and pizza.
Well, come to that. Well, the mini hot dogs are not so. You can have, there are various things that way. Sometimes you can make a knish like that, whatever. There are various things. Now, what happens over time, inevitably, is that some guy decides he's going to make a better mousetrap. So he decides he's going to make his better than everyone else's. He's going to make it a little bit thicker, and he's going to put some flavoring into it, and he's going to soup up the outside. So, then we find in Achrayim, that the Chofetz Chaim cites it, the Chofetz Brachos, that once the outside became significant, even though the roiv is still the inside, so now the halacha is borim in the mezainas, and that's it. So you don't want to make a bracha on the inside, the outside is the koveya. One should note, this is important to note, this the hedger really in the Gemara in case of Mevarchim, is that this halacha only applies to chameshis minitovan. It does not apply to rice. Rice is bottled roiv. If you made a mixture of rice and something else, and there's more of the something else than the rice, so the halacha is nikva by the something else and not of the rice. This is only halacha and chameshis and minidomim. So according to the principles of Hilchos Brachos, since there's no question that the breading on a schnitzel or a fried fish is certainly there, it adds to the flavor. It's not just, you know, one doesn't typically eat it with one's hand, so I don't need that on the outside for that reason. So what's the reason that one does not recite a mezaydus on it? Whatever, I mean, Nezer explores it and with a difficulty. These are primogodim at the end of Siman Reish Dalet. And I'll tell you the yisoid which emerges from that. And it's interesting, I saw in a sefer Hilchos Brachos, when he was quoting Rav Yaakov Kamenetzker, Rav Yaakov just said the punchline without all the rayas, lakach. But the yisoid was the same. That there's two types of situation where you have a mixture of two different things. Sometimes you mix two different things together because you want to eat two different things. But they happen to be, the two different things taste very good together. For example, you know, you make a chocolate bar and you put nuts inside. So, why do you put this? It means because you like nuts and you like chocolate, and the experience of nuts and chocolate is la'ela, you know. That's one type of situation. You have a situation where your interest is solely in eating one thing. The other item is merely there to enhance the flavor of the first thing. So what emerges from the Prima Godem is that in that type of situation, and in the first type of situation is where you apply the halacha that as long as it has chameshis minei dogon, even if it's b'miyuton, whether it is there for satiation purposes, whether it is there for flavor purposes, that in both of those situations, the halacha is that one recites a mezainus on it. But if it is there solely, not for its own sake, it's not because I'm interested in eating breading. The breading is only to enhance the flavor of the fish or the chicken, whatever it may be. So in such a situation, there is a din bittul even on chameshis minitovim. That's what emerges from the Prima Godem. You'll find that, I think, if I recall correctly, is a Sefer Anuchos Brochus. Who wrote it? I think the same person that wrote the book on Muktzah, the Rofa from Lakewood, Badr. I think in Badr's book, he quotes Rav Yaakov, the Yisoid, without any Maram Akaimus, but the Yisoid, he quoted from Rav Yaakov, that emerges from the Sugya from a Pingu Dodom. So this is an unusual case is a good.
Is this
supposed to be an example of the second one? Schnitzel. Schnitzel is a perfect example. Yeah.
I would add to this that if you ever take a piece of plain schnitzel and bake it, okay, which people do, dietetic, whatever,
yeah.
10 minutes after it comes out of the oven, it's like hard and it has no taste anymore. 10 minutes to eat fish to a large extent. And when you put a coating on it, the coating not only enhances it by having its own flavor,
that certainly adds to it. That's a very good addition.
Then, like, below the main condition, that might make it a double dip in the yeast. And then you dip it again in the egg batter, and you put another coating on it.
So Rabbi Yoshev said, this took some exploration with him to find out. But he held that when the outside was made on a very thick basis, more than typically we do in our part of the world, that it would be kovei a brocha by itself. In other words, it would become a zaynus. Then the batter is becoming, on the outside, is becoming a yesh in its own right.
You make two on that?
No, I think then you'd make one. Then you go back to that, similar to the case that I mentioned before, when you had the fruit filling, when you enhance the outside to the point that it has chashivus in its own right. So then the chicken is bottled. Mm-hmm. The chicken is bottled of a mutant.
Ice cream sandwich would be two brachas? Mm-hmm.
Ice cream sandwich is clearly two brachas because it's not cooked together in any regard. You're just putting it together afterwards, two separate ikros.
What about a brownie with a small piece of brownie inside?
These are tricky cases. I tend to make two brachas on them because you have. Ramesha was not in a soup case when you have soup, a little, let's say, soup nuts inside, a little bit of lokshin. He was reluctant to say that it's bottled.
What case are you talking about now?
Soup is a little luxury inside. He wants to know, like, you have the ice cream with the pieces of the crunch, the cookies inside, cookies and cream, you know.
Yeah.
I make two brachas on it. You know, a better, I would prefer sometimes, which Ramesha preferred than his chufa with soup, to find something else to make the mezainis on. But pashtus adorm is, I don't see why.
No.
I think Ramosha did not feel, I don't know, in the cookies and cream, I can't tell you exactly the mitzvah. Certainly in the soup case, Ramosha did not feel the shahakal you certainly had to make. In other words, you sometimes have a situation that's very hard to say that the little bit of the mezainis that you have could be construed in the totality of the whole thing as the ikar. And I think that you may, for example, explore cholent in that regard. That you might not, it would be a little difficult from my perspective to think that the barley somehow becomes the ikar of the whole thing. You know, I'm not to say that it doesn't have a brocha, that's a different problem. I don't think so either. But to say that the barley in its bimiyuta becomes the kfiyus of the entire dish is also hard to say.
So what do you make on chum?
I personally, if it has barley in it, I eat it outside of meal, I make two brochas on it.
When
I make hadama. The meat, listen, Rabbi Ginsburg's family of mine came from the same thing. We were from Poland. They said, don't worry, the meat does not, the potatoes are more than the meat.
I
don't
know if you hear about it, but in case the ice cream with the brownies in it, because it didn't come in broth. So do you take the brownie first and make a broth on that, even though it's also got ice cream on it, which you didn't make a broth on? Just
yeah,
the
I think so.
What about cereal with milk?
Cereal with milk is chlor. You make one broth on, that's it.
One?
Because that's the derech achila b'kach, and certainly the robe is not the, you know, is not the, is the cereal, the ikar is the cereal, usually, especially if it's a mezaina cereal. But
and
usually.
It's not probably in your diet. Some people say it's
probably in your diet. I don't think, listen, it doesn't. I don't think so. I don't think most people eat it to have milk as a separate mitzias, you know. It's part of the oichel. You can't eat it without it. That's a whole different problem. When you want a tofu in its own right or its own sheep, there's a whole different fears in that.
Shavuot told me years ago, a kid is having milk and cake, and the milk is only to soften up the cake. It doesn't make a broth on it. It only makes a broth on the cake.
The right of it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're getting together?
No.
Not even in your mouth.
Oh, because it's only, yeah, because that's
it's opening it up.
Yeah, in your mouth. In other words, having them together.
Real
yeah. Rabbi Yisrael, that's, I think, enough for Friday. You know, they say it is. I have Rahmanis, I'm home already, but I think some of you want to get ready to shout.
What about rap?
Oh, watch. Okay, I'll tell you.
Here we go.
We want to wrap up with rap. Rabbi Ginsburg, you're mistaken, God, this is a rap. This cannot talk. Now, it's so bad that even when friends serve one, it doesn't know. They say that Rabbi Yosha once at the stairs this Rebbetzin, I think, was a schnitzel. So he said, that's what I gave you for lunch today. You know, fog is the eighth. Well, after me, you know what it's called. You know, he looked at it, whatever. Kids are wrapped. Let's assume again we're dealing with flour and water. It's not all my wraps are made from flour and water. There are other possibilities to do with corn flours or all types of things. But let's assume it's a flour and water wrap. The dough is essentially a bread dough. That's what it is. That's the matzias of it. And it's typically greatly. Used what?
It's flavored greatly. Meal, bagel,
whatever. We as Ashkenazim don't care about that flavor. It kind of doesn't make, you know, it doesn't change the taste. It's a bread dough. And it's used typically in a sandwich. That's what it's used for. I mean, the wrap is typical. What? Yeah, to put meat and whatever. It's used, whatever. It's used instead of eating a bread sandwich, you have with a wrap sandwich. I mean, Pashtus Advarim is that it's a mitzi. And the one that obeyed in our school, they asked me. Then they came back and they told me to use Rabelski. And Rabelski also told them the same thing, to make a mitzi on it. So that's what I believe is correct.
How much is a year of a wrap?
Kazayas, like any other kazayas.
How can you figure it out?
Yeah, I told you it's very simple. I'm very, you know, I was once at the Seder with the Chaskosano, the Chatzadik Levroho, in Toshin Choftes. And at that Seder was present was a Chaim Sano, who's the head of the Chevron Gula today, and his Rebbetzin Allah Shalom. So she talked about the fact she was with Rabbi Hunter at the Seder. So she says, I had any measure of kazayas. He put more on his hand. It looked like a kazayas, and he gave it out. I mean, I don't know, but I have a hard time understanding the problem. Typically in one's house, one has an extra large egg. You take a hard-boiled egg, you cut it in half, and that's more than a kazayas already. Kazayas is a chatzi beya. And that's more... because most of the eggs which come out are large, I believe. That's five sausages. Peewees, mediums, large, extra large, and jumbles. And most of them are large. So extra large is already somewhat larger. What's the size of a half an egg? And that's it. That's a good idea.
Large is actually medium, though.
It is. Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's actually the medium, because it's most of the eggs. It's the mean egg is the large. So that's it. Take a hard-boiled egg and cut it in half, and that's it. That's the shear. Very simple. What? Shear for what?
Matzah
or something else. You know, when it comes to matzah, everything in Pesach, we try to do l'mahadra. Yes, to deal with the mitzvah sachag, I talked about this for Shabbos HaGadol. The mitzvah sachag are an inyan of haidah. They're not only a mitzvah. It's an Indian of Haidor. In Haidor, there's no Shir to Haidor. And mainly everything that we do in Pesach is done because Pesach is an Indian of Haidor. It's done full throttle in the Mahadran. So in Haidor, we're dealing with a Deraisa, which we don't usually have most of the year. Most of the year, the Rabbanans, we're dealing with Deraisa, we're dealing with the time that we want to be Mahadr. So there's no, you know, we pull out all the stops. But if you look back at all, you had much smaller possibilities for kazayas. There's smaller possibilities for kazayas. You're old enough to remember. Well, less than one half of a machine matzah.
Yes.
Okay. Ramosh had for Kairach when he first put out the shiurim a 6x3 piece of matzah. Moitzi matzah was 6x4, which is barely more than half a matzah. And the Kairach he had 6x3. And the Rosh Hashivah shiurim that he has the Messiah from Rav David, what he saw from Rav David. It's somewhere around probably the 6x3. I don't even think it reached the 6x4.
I was there twice for the segment.
Yeah. And I was there once,
segment.
Yeah.
He took a piece of a small piece of the segment, put another piece on top, another piece. It was, he says that that's too much
already. Yeah, but
Kalman wants... Rashid told me that, that anyway, since
he
has to visit him,
yeah.
He
says,
under abundance of...
Yeah, Rashid is... Yeah, yeah, but so the Rosh Hashanah share of Rav Kalman once went and had the Rosh Hashanah break Matzah until he thought it was somewhat less than Rav Moshe's earlier shiur.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how much, but it was less. I mean, I wanted to say that Rosh Hashanah is unusual in that regard, with Manehino, you know.
Did she say how much Rav Kalman had for Matzah or just
tomorrow? No, she just told me that in fact he put it into his hand and he looked at him and he was happy with it because he gave it
up.
What
kind of
I presume the ground. It was.
Do you make a mazon on apple pie at a Cheerios?